One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai. Kosai.org.
Come again, less with me. All the pints are bloody free. Have I told you I've got a high basic salary? Making money, now that's the key.
I had the wildest dream last night, in Clapham, just across from Clapham Junction train station. They're the last bloody Rigbiz podcast.
It's 2 p.m. on Saturday. Get the fuck to Clapham.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to episode 199 of the Rigbiz podcast. One more to go, Archie Curzon, and what a way to go out.
That tune is so money. That was the tune that I was listening to out in Valdezere. Really? It is banging.
How was this
at
gig?
The Folly, mate? Yeah. At the Folly.
How was it,
mate? When I was there, that song was coming on. I was just pushing my hand in the air up and down.
Yeah, yeah.
And I looked really cool.
But you were just there by yourself. Did you meet anyone interesting?
No, I went with Nielsen Holidays. By the way, big shout out to Nielsen Holidays.
Nielsen Holidays, the greatest holidays for the greatest people.
Did you meet anyone new skiing?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of like-minded individuals there. A lot of people from good stock, good skiers, good chat. I mean, you very rarely meet someone who is a good skier who's not good at business.
No.
So, yeah, it was phenomenal. I slayed the slopes. Mate, I just attacked the powder. It was wonderful.
Fuck, that sounds incredible.
Mate, Val d'Isère is just so sick, mate. It's so money. Yeah. You get up, you get on the ski lift, and you just take down the black and red runs, mate. One thing I don't do is the green runs, because people who do green runs are normally from Putney and play hockey. And also, mate, I had no mercy.
Really?
No mercy. I'm very much like I am in the business world. I'm cutthroat.
Yeah.
I'm just going down the slope. You're in my way. I'm taking you down.
What were you listening to on the
way down? No snow plows allowed. If I see someone on a snow plowing, I push them over.
Did it get loose in the Folly douche then?
Oh, mate.
Any girls?
Yeah,
any stories?
Yeah, mate. There are a few cheekers talking to me. But yeah, mate, I was there for the skiing.
Yeah.
To be honest, mate. I'm there for the snow. I mean, if you like talking about the weather, Clodis, and talking especially about snow, then skiing is for you. You get on a ski lift and you say, wow, I haven't seen snow like this for a long time. And then the other person would be like, yeah, it's just dropped. And I'd be like, yeah, it's phenomenal. I can't wait to get up there and just carve it up.
And I saw you fell back in love with ski lifts.
Yeah, I really do want a petition for a ski lift in Clapham. Although we have no snow or skiing facilities right now.
Yeah.
Although, who knows, in the future with global warming, that could be a possibility.
Yeah,
I would love to have a ski lift that goes from sort of like Clapham South to Clapham North.
Yeah.
It'd be really cool.
It would be quite cool.
I'm going to petition for that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I just think it's a lovely way to travel.
Do you ever ride the ski lift in East London from...
No, I would never go that far.
No.
That's not for me.
No.
It's disappointing they've got one,
and we
haven't.
Yeah.
That's something I'll take up in the next board meeting at Clapham head office.
We should say today, obviously, we're 2 days away from our live show where we're going to be joined by Anthony Watson and a couple of special guests.
Yeah.
They've just opened, I think quite unsafely, but they've said it's safe, the top ring of the theatre.
So, Clodis, where we're at right now is on Monday night, the bottom of the venue completely sold out.
Yes.
The boxes are sold out.
Yes. Tables.
Tables are sold out. But they said, look, let's open top deck, get more lash hands in. I said, it's at your own risk.
Yeah, it's your own peril.
Our fans are loosey-goosey.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's what they are, fans.
Yeah. I don't think it's been open since the 70s, that top realm.
Yeah, so I am so excited. If you're listening to this and you haven't got a ticket, mark my words.
Yes.
You're not going to see a Gary player an all-day like it.
No.
You get in the venue,
yes.
2:30, 3:45, the podcast will start.
We're getting at 2, we should say.
Yeah, get so you there get your 2. Lashing. Yeah, the podcast is going to start. Get your beers in. Yeah. Podcast will start straight away. We have got a very good surprise to open the show.
Yeah,
I mean, people are going to go nuts for what we've organised.
Yeah.
We've got Anti Watson, London Irish, Bath, Leicester, England, British Lions legend coming on stage to join us to preview the game, talk about his career. At the end of the game, we've got the Ireland-England game on the big screen. We'll be getting lashed with everyone going round, doing bum funnels, necking pints, doing drinking games. At the end of that game, when we're all a bit lubricated, I'm going to take the whole audience out on a conga line down Northcote Road, and we'll be drinking to the early hours of the morning. I mean, it's going to be special.
Are we doing halftime analysis or not?
We can do halftime analysis if you fancy a bit of halftime analysis. I'm very happy. I'm very comfortable with the microphone in my hand. Yeah.
And we're gonna be...
I don't know if you guessed it, but I absolutely love the sound of my own voice.
You do love it. And you've been practicing.
What I will miss about this podcast is not being able to listen to myself.
Yeah, every Thursday morning.
But I guess we've done so many, I could just go back to the archives.
Yeah, yeah. Well, our guest today's got a new podcast starting. Are you going to go on his or?
I think he wants me to go on that. I mean, he's a guy, we've got a lot of similarities.
Yes.
Although I would say I've got a sense of humour.
Yeah, you're both big dogs though, aren't you?
Yeah.
He was Chelsea. Oh, even
Spencer
though he refuses
Matthews.
It now.
Spenny Matthews. Sometimes when I go to a restaurant and it's Spencer, I go, bloody hell, that's Spenny Matthews.
Yeah, yeah.
Because of Spencer Matthews.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a legend.
He is a legend.
But really excited.
Amazing runner.
Yeah, amazing runner.
Can 30 I just, marathons in 30 days.
Yeah, can I just say, this is probably our last podcast until the live show.
Yeah,
just a few buttons, just to hit.
Yeah, go on.
Another one, and another one.
That one's for Maritoge.
England captain.
England captain. Also,
got him there.
His colleague at Saracens, who I... Oh! It killed me.
You said
but
you were
we will have his name for the last show.
Oh,
and
yeah.
What I think we do is we bring his name up and everybody in the audience can connect with him.
Yeah, yeah.
We're at a little section, our own section.
LinkedIn Lovins.
Me connecting
LinkedIn
you.
LinkedIn Lovins.
Let's
like bring it back one more time.
Big shout out to Maritoge. Also, it is bloody cold out there, isn't it, at the moment?
Yeah.
Helly Hansen for the man who knows where he's going. So that jacket's really important. Helly Hansen's perfect for these conditions.
Yeah, yeah.
Windy, a little bit wet.
Yes.
Not good conditions to play rugby.
No.
When
are you guys? Oh, you take the Six Nations break, don't you?
Take the Six Nations break.
Yeah.
Just in case.
Yeah,
I mean, it's very unlikely they call me up. I think I'm like 2,500 to 1.
Yeah, you never know.
If they lose the first two games,
yeah.
Why don't they just throw the game plan out the window?
Well, you nearly got a call up for the Barbers last year, didn't you?
Yeah, I nearly did, yeah.
There's always this year.
I'm feeling good, mate. I mean, look at the shape of me. I'm looking good for the live show.
The chat
is on point. I probably need to have a haircut quickly.
Yeah. Do you know Anthony Watson well, I guess?
I know.
Have you had some good nights out with him?
Yeah, I haven't had any good nights out with him, but he's a lovely guy. I've had a bit of contact with him ahead of the show. I was talking to him last night over Instagram.
Yeah.
Very excited.
Is he excited?
He's excited to be there. And it's good. I mean, what an interesting guest to have. Someone who's just finished a game.
Yeah.
He's done it all. He scored for the British Lions. He's
played
for England in the World Cup final. I mean, it's exciting.
Amazing guest.
I don't know if you can tell.
Shame in a way we didn't go for Monty. But
Monty Panesar. Yeah, he did want to come on, but we wanted to sell tickets, right?
Yeah. Well, Archie, I think we should introduce our last guest in studio, and that is a certain man called Mr. Spenny Matthews. 30 marathons, 30 days, made in Chelsea icon, chucked off I'm a Celeb for steroids. I mean, it's all there to talk about.
Yeah, onside chat.
We are delighted to now be joined by a sex icon, a former made in Chelsea star, a world record holder, a businessman, a podcaster, a father, but most importantly, a lover in all senses of the word. The gorgeous Spencer Matthews. Spencer, after 5 years of trying, Archie, we've been trying for five years to get him on.
Yeah, I've
and we've finally done it.
All the ways, LinkedIn, Tinder, and luckily I've just gone through the file effects in my home office, and Sean Strafford came up trumps for me, and I just said to him, listen mate, if you can sort it out, and he did. And you know, he is a professional rig, but also I think Sean could do bloody well in the city, considering he's just set this up in a matter of weeks.
Fucking good business though.
Easy stuff.
Yeah. Thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah.
I mean, Archie, we should start with you, because back in the maiden Chelsea days, Spencer, biggest guy on TV.
Yep.
But you guys had a bit of beef. You're the CEO of Clapham. He was the big boy in Chelsea. Did it ever come to blows? Were you ever in public embargoes? No, like, what happened?
Look, I'll just set the record straight. First and foremost, I've got a lot of respect for Spencer. In a lot of ways, I see a lot of me in him. And it was great that he took the TV by storm. It could have been him, could have been me. I decided that, you know, actually, professionally, the best route was to be in the city. I was doing so well in my godfather's company. After doing my gap year in Canary Wharf, I just thought it made sense to concentrate on that. I was chasing the Yankee dollar. And when Spencer popped up on TV, I was like, wow, that is impressive. of course, there was a little jealousy, but then actually, when you get back to it, you know, I'm very grateful for the career and the rugby career I've had. So, you know, look, it's fine. It's water under the bridge now. You know, we're both adults. You know, he's a father. I'm a father too. A daughter called Johnny Jono. She's great. And I hope one day, you know, maybe we can do a deal and your son can marry my daughter. And that would, you know, imagine what would be spawned out of that. Just absolute riggers.
Well, thank God you stepped aside, to be honest. God knows where I'd be. You know?
Yeah, well, you're welcome. And I actually think, you know, it suited both of us really, really well.
But you were a City trader, weren't you, back in the day?
I was. Not a trader, a broker. I was a broker. So I had three stints, well, back to back in the city, three different companies. Blue Index, which was kind of like the equivalent of that penny sheet, the pink sheet stuff that DiCaprio gets up to in Wolf of Wall Street. Yeah. Then went to City Index, which is a Michael Spencer firm, and then on to ICAP, which is for the big boys.
Those are two names I absolutely love. That's got me a little bit hard, I'm not going to lie. City Index and ICAP. Yeah. Ooh, just say that to me.
Talking of similarities, though, I mean, Spencer, you undertook the most incredible, you know, mammoth challenge. 30 marathons, 30 days, over 30 degrees every single day through the Jordanian desert. Archie, what was it,
77 in the end, yeah.
Fucking hell, I mean, it's a lot of kilometres.
We did a little bit more than a marathon each day just to so that we weren't screwed out of the data. Because, you know, we had like...
It's all about Strava at the end of the day.
Exactly, yeah. You know, we wanted to make sure that you know, it was, in fact, a full marathon. Yeah. So we did a couple of hundred metres extra every day, which totaled to... A few extra
But that's an incredible challenge. But you ran, come on, you ran, we're talking about similarities here, you ran 32 kilometres on Christmas Day halfway to Reading from Paddington Station doing the Great Western Run.
Spencer, I mean, that is one thing I really respect about you is I absolutely love running content. That's my thing. Mm. I just can't get enough of it. And I saw all these guys running the different tube stations, but on Christmas Day, I thought, that's it. I'm going to do the Great Western Run.
Yeah.
So I went from Paddington, and I was trying to get to Exeter, St. David's, but it was just longer than I thought. And actually, on Christmas Day, it was quite a lonely thing. I sort of got this camera crew together. Yeah. Poor guys. I mean, a lot of them had family at home they wanted to get back to. So, 32 kilometres, great challenge to do on Christmas. It was better than the Christmas before where me and my daughter did a 24-hour fast, which was fine with me, but she was only one. And it was actually, we ended up in hospital. And that was, but I mean, she looked incredible.
Like, a bit of autophagy for her, though.
Yeah.
Apparently, they say they can see Jesus's face in your abs.
Jesus abs. I was, I found out about that on the Stephen Colbert show.
Yeah, yeah. Quite incredible.
Stephen Colbert, Late Show. In LA.
When you see a photo like that, you look in the mirror now. We all remember Spencer 2011, the party boy, the trader, 10 beers a night, maybe something else. Who fucking knows? We're all having fun out
there. Who knows, yeah.
But I mean, when you look at that now, what's that make you feel? You must be like turned on just looking in the mirror.
Yeah, well, I don't tend to get turned on by myself. Well, it's a bit of a lie. Well, yeah, I suppose I do. You know, you never know. I'm a bit skinny there, to be honest. But it was a really interesting time that. It was, I know that we're having
No, we're
a
about
bit
to
of a
get
laugh,
into
but,
that properly.
But
no.
It was kind of a lot of feelings of self-hatred a bit and kind of disgust that I carried around with 2011 Spencer, you know, disappeared and turned into kind of immense feelings of pride just for a period. And it was, it was kind of special. Yeah. I went into that not really knowing if I was going to be able to pull that off. And it was quite a scary thing at times. But... No, I was delighted that it went well in the end, you know?
Do you look at that? I mean, it's an incredible feat. I mean, the only thing is negative, you sort of have the same chassis as Pradlock, which sort of suggests you might play hockey, which is pretty disappointing. But obviously, you're quite a determined human being. Like, everything, do you hyper-fixate on stuff? Is that like a thing, you know, when you were going out, that was the thing you wanted to do and you did it really well. Now, you do all these challenges, you can put everything into it. Do you find that's a thing you've always had?
Yeah.
You just do things to excess.
I'm a competitive person. Yeah. I used to competitively party, you know, and it sounds silly, but I would want to be the loudest, latest person out. Mm. I'd want to drink the most. I'd want to be, I don't know. And then I basically just replaced one addiction with another. Like I fell into a series of very bad habits, you know, drinking every single day, going out very late most nights, you know, every so often I'd have a night in. But, you know, after years of repeating that, you find yourself in occasionally, you know, slightly dark places because you kind of feel like you're wasting time. It's a very it's not a healthy process, you know. So I've ripped that competitive ness that I had for all of that into kind of, you know, sport and health, I suppose. I'm one of those stereotypical people that you see online who are suddenly, you know, 35, 36, and, you know, they know what fasting's all about and bits and bobs because they listen to Andrew Huberman. Like, that's me.
No, and
Archie.
I love fasting. That's one of my, it's on my CV. I'm a competitive faster. Yeah. I could probably outfast you if you wanted to go in it. If you want to go a couple of weeks fasting, we could do that for charity. I'm happy to take.
But next person to eat losers from now.
But on that running, you're running that distance and over that thing, and obviously there's a lot of press behind you. Like, how, I mean, I don't know whether I could have made it. But surely there was so much. Did you feel the pressure of the weight that you had to complete it? Because if you didn't, obviously, it would be a massive disaster, right?
Well, yeah, no, it really would have been. Yeah, because obviously I teamed up with Global this time around to gain more exposure so that we could raise more money. So there was that initial pressure of, you know, it's not like we're just going for a 20K run or something. And if you feel like bailing halfway through, you can. It was kind of like a lot of time and effort went into this. Loads of preparation. You know, I ran kind of just under 2,000K in prep for this thing. So to go out and fail, and again, not to sound like some, you know, wanker on a podcast, I don't think failing's that big a deal if you've learned from it, etc. But the pressure not to fail was pretty full on because I knew that this would be quite a transformative thing for me.
Yeah.
And I spend quite a lot of time running away from my former self. Like, I'm not particularly proud of who I used to be. So for me to succeed was really important this time around, because I think, you know, had you gone out and fucked it up on day two or three, then that's what would be spoken about, you know?
Do you listen to podcasts when you run? What do you listen
Sometimes.
To?
Sometimes. Well, I listen to you guys, of course.
Yeah, of course.
Obviously.
Yeah, of course.
And which is why I'm
you
so
got over 200
to
episodes to listen to.
Yeah, of course. No, I do listen to, like, as I said earlier, I am the, like, I don't listen to too much entertainment stuff. Like, I do like a Huberman. I like a kind of, I like something where I feel like I'm learning something. Like this.
Yeah,
of course. This is educational. I like listening to white noise.
Really?
Yeah, like that. Yeah.
What's the difference between white and brown noise? Because, you know, there is brown noise.
What's brown noise?
It's something that sounds remarkably similar to white noise as far as I'm concerned.
Okay.
But apparently it's different. Well, my wife goes through it all.
No, I...
We listen to it when we go to sleep. That's how exciting our lives
are. Really?
No,
listen,
we are exciting.
You actually do listen to it?
We do, yeah.
I listen to I listen to white noise as I sleep as well. I put the Hoover on.
Yeah.
I'll get my nanny at home.
Yeah.
She puts my daughter down, and then I'll go down and I'll probably cook up some eggs, knowing me. Mm. And then I'm back up, I'll strip down naked.
Can't eat too many eggs.
No. Why not?
No, you can't.
No, you can't.
It's great.
No. It's one of my staple things. I have egg whites, boiled chicken, and broccoli.
Lovely.
2-3 times a day.
Sounds like what we feed our dogs. We give our dogs boiled chicken. Have you ever boiled a chicken?
It's one of my favorite things to do on a Sunday meal prep.
Yeah. Boiled chicken. It's quite grim. It releases all this kind of white stuff.
Yeah. It's
fine for the dogs, I think.
But what but do you not drink that?
Blend it up.
No, I boil the chicken, take it out, and then I let that simmer for a bit, cool it down, and then put it in a glass.
And you drink it.
Yeah, with some electrolytes, and then let that down. I get all the benefits.
A bit of salt.
I love white noise, and I sometimes get the nanny just to come, and she would just put the Hoover and hold it to me, and wait till I sleep. I did used to ask her to stroke my head, but then she stopped doing that.
Those 30 days, though, there must have been some really tough challenges.
Mm.
Like, what were the weirdest, craziest, scariest things you sort of came across during that time?
The first marathon was really rough, like unusually rough, right? And kind of it took me by surprise a bit. I slept for about an hour and a half the night before. It was a bit of traveling, obviously, to get there, and it was quite. When things don't go according to plan when you're out doing something like this, there's a kind of tendency to overthink things. And we were quite near the Israeli border. Obviously, they're going through a bit of a turbulent time at the minute, and so GPS was scrambled. Generally, so like our phones were saying that we were in Egypt, and so were our Garmins, and so were the Corosses. Any GPS devices were basically completely scrambled. So we weren't like we had a pre-approved Guinness World Record mapped out route, so we kind of knew where we were going. But it's good thing that it happened so early, because we were kind of running blind basically, and like, you know, had no idea how fast we were going or anything, so it was quite difficult to keep a track of stuff. So we ended up going far too fast for like the first half, and now I had like niggles and problems with knees and stuff, and it was a bit of a wake-up call then, thinking that I had 29 more to go at the end of the first day. It was just quite rough. And then, you know, we you know, prevented niggles from becoming injuries, I suppose, throughout the process. And I got a bit more used to that. Like, if you're running around, you know, Battersea Park and your knee feels great like spot. It's blowing up, you just stop and you know, have a look
head
at
to Petri.
Yeah, exactly. Head to the Petri. I love the Petri.
What a great place.
I remember the Petri.
Super
by the
Sunday.
Way.
It's replaced the ship now. It's a great place.
I remember the Petri before it was a big popular thing.
Terrible Italian place.
But when it was the Petri after the Italian place, you could just wander in and get like whatever you want. There's no one there.
Yeah.
Then they started serving booze.
Game changer.
Full of lads goodness. Like you all the time. Impossible to get in.
My Sundays in the summer, it's a real dilemma. I don't know where they're going. The ship or go to Petri Cafe. Yeah.
Is the ship still a thing?
I run past
the ship
well,
sometimes.
Well, I would say...
It's a great little running route down the Thames.
Obviously, you don't drink, Spencer, but things you probably miss out now is Feathers Ball this year was incredible.
I do drink, by the way. Just not very often. No. And Feathers, yeah, God, feathers what a blast from the
this
past.
Year was the it, best year.
Well, you still go?
Well, it's chaperone. I'm a chaperone now because obviously it's a younger set. It's a younger set, but it's bloody good fun.
I was actually thinking about that the other day. How odd is that?
Oh, my God.
Isn't it weird? It's so grim. I was because obviously now as a parent, like you think about all these things,
yeah.
And like I was just thinking about Feathers the other day. I'm gone from the screen again, by the way, but it's no problem. I don't need to stare at myself.
I need to see your abs.
Oh, there we go. Thank you. Yeah. There's Jesus again. the abs, not me. What was I going to say? Yeah, but that is odd. I remember that, like asking my parents for a ticket to stuff like Feathers, and it was like 80 quid or something. Yeah. Quite a lot for young kids.
For soft drinks.
And you're how old are you? 13.
You're horny as fuck, though, aren't you? 16, you're running around in that
17,
bad
18.
It's a pretty. It's
16, 17, 18. Yeah,
yeah.
And, I went right to the end.
You went recently.
When you are 18 and you go to Feathers Ball, you clean up. But it does become a bit. It's
dangerous.
Tester, yeah.
It's a dangerous.
But
game.
Then you just sneak booze in, and there would always be someone who gets absolutely smashed.
Well, there's a fair amount of vomiting, isn't there? That goes on at those things.
There was. I used to go to a thing called the RSPCA disco.
No, NSPCC,
at my friend's house. And then we used to get a minibus there, drink Scrumpy Jack, get there, vomit.
Scrumpy Jack, lovely.
Yeah, and then crack on.
Delicious.
And yeah, did some of my first things there.
Like what?
Snogging, dry humping. I still, to this day, the girl that taught me dry humping, Sophie Cooper, she's an unbelievable woman.
Legend.
I'm one of the best dry humpers out there.
It is a skill.
It is, honestly.
Yeah. Underrated skill.
If you get the right trousers, you can starch them, then it is also acts like an apparatus. So yeah, I'm giving all the tricks of the trade. This will be coming out in my book in 2025, for Christmas.
Well, we're going to talk about books later, but I mean, what was the catalyst for you sort of giving up? Was it meeting Vogue?
My boozing was pretty shit, mate. I would lie to Vogue about like what I was getting up to that day, just because I was so embarrassed of like my boozing. Like, she'd be out working and I'd be like at home, like drinking whiskey, kind of like pretending that I'd walk the dogs. I couldn't be like fucked to do that. Like, literally, it was quite rough. Like, I was overweight. I was grey. I was kind of like, I was in this state where I had really lost control of the drinking.
Was anxiety through being famous or not?
Like, I don't know. I'm not an anxious person, to be honest. I don't physically feel anxious ever. I can worry about stuff that you might worry about. Like, at this particular time in my life, I was pretty concerned about where my life might end up. Like, I was pretty it could have gone either way, to be honest. And I knew there had to be a pretty big change. So I kind of knocked it on the head. But yeah, it was very much, you know, I didn't want to lose Vogue for a start, you know, and I knew that if I carried on the way I was drinking, that, you know, obviously she would pack up and leave. And that would have been a real shame. I'd gone from feeling like I kind of didn't care about certain relationships in the past, perhaps through arrogance or just, you know, being selfish and wanting my, you know, caring about just me, to really caring about what might happen if she were to leave me, type thing. So I stopped. I was teetotal for just under 3 years. Didn't touch a drop. Built Clean Co in that time, and my addiction shifted into other stuff. They shifted into my startup, and they shifted into training and you know, like every married couple, we had other issues. I was you know, in the office all day instead of being pissed all day, and just a different way of dealing with it.
But why do you think you were drinking so heavily? Like, because was it not just a, like, did you feel you had to put on a show being this like showman famous now, or like,
maybe, I don't know. The show was far more successful than I ever thought it would be. Yeah. Like, I honestly thought that following a group of 20 somethings around, you know, posh 20 somethings around Chelsea, talking about, you know, drinking champagne and playing polo and shit would actually tank. Like, I wanted the experience of being on a commissioned TV show, I suppose. I wanted to be a TV presenter at the time. I thought it would be cool experience, you know, and it was, you know, went on to win a BAFTA and stuff. It was all quite surprising to us that it took off in the way that it did. I mean, it's still going. It's a really long time ago for me. You know, I was 20, I think, or 21 when I started. I'm 36 now. Mm. I think people, it is funny that it kind of follows you around a bit. And, you know, it's always, you know, Spencer Matthews from in Chelsea. It's kind of, that to me is a little bit strange. It's kind of like referencing your first job. This is just my first job on TV.
I don't think Spencer Matthews meant Chelsea. I think Spencer Matthews, ICAP.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's exactly. You're the OG one.
Commercial break. Are they really stopping the rig biz? Jamie, can you pull up the details for their last show? Right, if you're in London, then go and get a ticket to my favorite podcast in the world, The Rig Biz. Live at the Clapham Grand this Saturday. It's going to get incredibly loose. Get your tickets now.
But it's given you and Jamie like amazing platforms to have huge companies. Clinko, Candy Kittens. You both got these big podcasts on global radio.
Yeah. No, it's absolutely. I don't mean to sound ungrateful for it. No. I just think people.
Sorry, I'm not fighting men. Chelsea's corner.
No. But it's a fair point, because I have been. I can, if you catch me in the wrong mood, I can be quite grim about men Chelsea, and I don't really mean to be. I think it was a really exciting thing to do at the time. It was fun. Like, it was, we were trying to replicate what Brodie Jenner and Spencer Pratt did in the Hills. You know, it was cool. They were huge celebrities in LA. I spent a little bit of time with them when I was at university over there, and it was just like you wouldn't believe it. They're like followed around by paps on motorbikes and getting paid $100K to turn up to a nightclub.
Sounds like me and Clapham.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, what kind of fucking life is this? I was like, so the whole idea of it was cool. Jamie and I particularly enjoyed the idea of being famous. Mm. Like, you know, I don't really mind, you know, saying that. Like, getting recognised in the street was cool. It was fun.
Do you enjoy that now?
I'm less concerned, but it doesn't really. I when people come up to me in the street and ask for a picture or something, I don't dislike it at all. But I wouldn't be chasing that.
But
it's not really that.
Does that happen every day for you?
Most days, but not all the time. It's kind of like.
What about you?
If I go to Clapham Common, I'll hang out. If anyone says I'm at Clapham Common most lunchtimes, and I'll just hang out.
We're not at kind of Bieber level. We can survive with it.
Yeah.
You and I.
Well, I find it hard. If I go for a pear tree in Clapham Common, it's a nightmare. Well, because I'm wearing all my Clapham Common stash.
We know what we're doing
there
when we do that,
don't we? Yeah. It's great for birds. And I'm very lucky. I'm not married. You know, I'm a single father.
Spencer, when you started at Made in Chelsea, like, you guys paid any money? Because I read that you were incentivized to cause trouble. And I'm guessing that means getting more pissed and sort of pissing more people off.
Yeah. I mean, no, we were paid. I was paid £50 per filming day for series one. So, you know, it's not.
That's a terrible day,
it's not
right?
Archie, like,
to go to a limited company.
So, no, exactly. It's certainly it's a few miles behind where you started off, of course.
Although you could pay someone off.
That's why you ended up going to the city instead of choosing this. You know, so No, it was more of an exposure play, to be honest.
Can I just, obviously you've done the marathons and then you're doing this Ironman. Do you think now you're thinking I can raise a load of money? I can do good for the world, and I can test myself, my mental, you know, my physical attributes.
I quite like the idea of having like a large challenge, you know, on an annual basis. You know, these things take time, obviously. So I've only just noticed all the money pouring out of your suit. It's funny.
It's a lovely touch, isn't it?
Yeah, it is good. For me, with a bit of a history of alcoholism, etc., for me to have big challenges lingering helps me to kind of, you know, drive forward. Like, I can't bear being bored. So like I try and be as busy as I possibly can be. Like, I actually even find, like, if I'm away for 2 weeks on holiday, I will begin to get a bit complacent with like sobriety and bits and bobs. I'll feel like drinking more. I like keeping busy. But yeah, to your point, I probably won't climb Everest.
How tough was that show going back there? Because obviously you were down in base camp.
Yeah.
I mean, that must have been a horrifying experience, right?
Yeah. Well, it was nice for me, actually. I was able to kind of move through quite a lot.
Yeah.
I carried around quite a lot of hatred towards people that I felt could have helped my brother, because I think it's quite easy not to really understand Everest, you know, like because people die on Everest, there's lots of bodies up on Everest. People don't really get that, or why don't people just bring the bodies down? That's a really complicated and costly thing to do.
Yes, of course.
And also, you know, there's very little oxygen past 8,000 meters, called the death zone. I don't think people, well, lots of people do understand, but I don't think many people understand that if you encounter a real issue up near the summit of Everest, good luck getting out of it.
Mm.
Like, people can't just pick you up and carry you off the mountain. Like, people struggle to walk,
even get themselves
at that pace, you know, up there. So it's just quite it's you know, I for many years as a kind of turbulent drunk teenager really struggled with the idea that his Sherpa couldn't have helped him, or that his guide didn't help him, because, you know, it was we were told, you know, 1 minute he's fine, the next minute he's not, and then all of a sudden it's, you know, the guide's back and he's not. Why is that? You know, couldn't the guide have made more of an effort? So I grew up with all this kind of hatred of the guide, and whoever else was kind of, you know, around at the time. But having just existed up there for myself for 5 weeks, I was at base camp for 5 weeks. And you're very high, by the way, up there. There's a shortage of oxygen at base camp as well. There's quite a few people on oxygen at base camp. And it's you begin to learn pretty quickly that if something goes pear-shaped, there's really not much you can do. You know, like, a couple of people died in base camp when I was there.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, do you know what I mean? It's kind of like, obviously, if you can help people, you would.
Yeah.
But they can't a lot of the time. So it was, I think it was quite useful for me to be, sorry to lower the tone.
No, it's fine. We've had the tone low many times in this podcast. Don't worry, it's a serious podcast.
Yeah,
of course. Yeah. It was quite nice for me to be able to move through that kind of anger and let it go a bit, you know, and understand that, you know, if Mike had issues with oxygen or indeed was, you know, there was. A big storm and you were separated from your guide, you know, there really is nothing you can do, you know. So it was quite helpful for me.
Going back to the Ironman stuff, is the easiest stuff the cycling? Is that, because that for me, I did a cycling challenge for the Rugby World Cup. So went from the UK to Paris for the Rugby World Cup for Doddy Aid. And I'm going for the British Lions. I'm doing around Ireland. And I found being on a bike is pretty easy.
Yeah,
and I was there with Jason Fox, and I was overtaking him many a times.
I thought Gabby Logan was destroying you, wasn't she?
No, I was in Gabby Logan's slipstream. Okay.
Gabby Logan's great, isn't she?
Oh, my God.
Have you had her on?
No, you're meant to be bringing her on.
Her husband, Kenny, has been on a number of times, and he's the one that's invited me for the trip.
No, the bike, I don't know. I'm not an incredible cyclist or a good swimmer. So for me, this is fun because it's going to be challenging to kind of get myself up to scratch, I suppose. But no, like... Yeah, I imagine I'm probably speaking out of turn, but same as you. I think the swim is going to be quite rough.
That
3.8 kilometer swim is wild.
Where are you practicing for that? The Hurlingham or?
There's a pool just next to my house. Nice. It was supposed to be a resident to use it, but don't tell anyone.
Okay,
I'll just cruise in and they don't ask any questions.
Really?
Swimming is,
I don't
just
pay any service charge or anything.
Is it technique swimming? It's technique, isn't it? That's the key.
I'm a shit swimmer, mate. I honestly don't know how I'm going
to
get through.
I was going to say that to you, but I didn't want to start. Yeah, no. But I mean, that would be my worst nightmare, swimming for that long period of time. I'm guessing you've got people with you. I mean, I'm a rugby boy. I'm thick. So, you know, like, I like to, you know, like, it would be,
you're astoundingly vast, actually.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in good shape. Like, you know, if I'm taking a crash ball now, that's, well, but I'm...
There's no stopping.
We're in different elements. Yeah, I'm in the back end of my rugby career, play for the Clapham Falcons, I play for a half, but also, you know, like, my rig is designed for that.
It's looking good.
Yeah.
No.
Are you guys the same age, G?
How old are you, Spence?
I'm 36.
Yeah.
Same age?
Yeah.
So that's when... So did you guys ever come to blows? I want to know. No, Chelsea Clapham, no, you're like 19, never, 20, no. You're hanging out.
No, there's no, always so much.
You go to
admiration.
Infernos, he comes to like Public. Do you remember Public back in the day?
No. Yeah,
fights
yeah.
kicking off.
I still go to Embargo sometimes across the river, and it's a great place to hang out.
Is Embargo not the same thing as Public?
Is it? Joe Public, I think, is a different name.
I don't know. I think there was sort of next door to
it. Oh, Public's the one down.
Yeah.
Is it?
It's closed now.
Jack's.
Yeah, yeah. You've fallen out with a couple of your sort of colleagues and teammates being competitive. How competitive are you and Jamie?
We're quietly competitive.
Yeah.
We pretend.
Does it piss you off when you see him like post like we're the fastest growing confectionery company in the country?
Well, like, that's just him, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
That's
just
him. Who knows as well if that's true or not? You know.
Yeah.
He's
can we get a community note on that?
He's an interesting little fellow.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we are quietly competitive though. Mm. We'll support each other. Sort of, you know, on the surface.
Yeah, yeah.
But I reckon there's some, you know, there's certainly some jealousy from his side. Yeah. You know,
it's good,
when he looks at
when he sees
Jesus abs and stuff, he probably thinks,
mate,
you know,
we're all jealous.
I would say the same thing. I've got something similar with Alex Payne. Do you know Alex Payne?
Yeah.
Alex Payne, the host of The Good, The Bad and The Rugby. He's really irrelevant.
Yeah, yeah.
You wouldn't know him. Yeah. He's like, I think he's got less than 40,000 followers. I mean, who is he? We did a charity boxing match. You know, he won, but it was debatable.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of Sky Sports people there he worked for, and they were judging it. But that's a similar thing. Like, I love what he says. They're the best rugby podcast. Is it true? You can just say it.
You never know.
Yeah. We're a global award-winning podcast. We've got awards to back it up.
Yeah, we do.
We've been voted. We've got voted.
We do. 2023.
We won second best podcast in Clapham South.
Did he say his best sports comedy podcast?
Yes, in the world.
Yeah,
I don't know whether it's supposed to be funny.
No, it's not comedy. I don't know.
I actually didn't understand what
people think. No. People think my banter, you know, like banter is funny, and I think that's,
I'm very serious nowadays, so yeah. I don't really do anything funny.
I do want to get serious. I know we've only got like 5-10 minutes left, Spence, but sadly, we've been legally advised that we can't proceed with this little bit of the section. It was incredibly entertaining, and maybe one day we will share it with the world alongside Liv Bentley. But for now, we have to move on. Your book in 2011, Confessions of a Chelsea Boy, knocked Archie's book, The Rookie, what was it, Rookie Guide to the City or something?
Yeah, of course.
Off the top that Christmas. Standard. It was a great book. I mean, you must have sold quite a few books because I saw it in many houses.
Have you?
Yeah. Well, I did at the time.
You saw it in lots of houses, you said?
Yeah, yeah. People were buying it. Yeah.
Right.
Fantastic.
Well, no, but I mean,
maybe
I'm
made a check.
No, but I mean, serious. Did it?
I'm not too sure. I kind of wish. I don't want this whole interview to seem regretful, I was offered a check to write that book that was unlike anything that was more money than I had ever had before, right? And I was young. I was 20 or 21, and I was very honest in it, and I wrote a lot
threw
of stuff.
Some dirt in there.
And it was this thing that, you know, that was then referenced whenever I was interviewed by anyone, and you know, stories from that were kind of dredged up. And at the time, you know, I took the money, but I kind of wish now that I hadn't written that. But it was fine, you know. I think it was, I think you learn and you grow, you know, as stuff goes on. But you know, I think
Don't be regretful. Every fresher that joins my office, that's in their starter pack. Yeah. And I read that back.
Yeah, you're still buying it.
You're the people buying it.
Yeah, yeah.
You,
Archie still buys
it. Up for a couple of quid, I think.
In a way, yeah. Yeah, I think they do a deal, buy three, get one. Yeah, but yeah. The thing is, obviously, you're responsible for boosting the economy, so thank you.
Thank you.
I mean, all our sales team are absolutely smashing it.
There were some like good stories in there, though, like you running away from Colonel Gaddafi's son. I mean, I couldn't quite believe that.
No.
And then playing, what was it, a backgammon against like DiCaprio.
Yeah, yeah.
Could you quickly give us that DiCaprio memory?
There's and then, bits and bobs. Was he
at the hotel, I'm guessing?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's not a kind of personal friend per se, but he's been to the old hotel a few times.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a very lovely gentleman. Yeah. Very kind guy.
Must be quite weird though, playing against DiCaprio J-Lo, like a bit of backgammon. I mean, fuck me.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's just another game, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Do you still have the hotel in the family?
Yeah, yeah.
Because we are looking somewhere to do our end of season party.
No, perfect. Well, yeah, but it's kind of like, it's a similar thing with me. Like in my book that's coming out, I tell a story about playing chess with Dean Gaffney. which in the ship on a Sunday was
lovely.
Just surreal. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hold on. What Spencer, have you got, I mean, like, obviously you're a man that is obviously got a lot of fingers and a lot of pies. Have you got anything coming out at the moment that are, you know, 30 odd thousand people that listen to this podcast will be listening to, primarily prep school kids?
I would. Thank you. Yeah.
or 80-year-old men.
It's funny you should ask, actually, Archie. I do have... I've got a brand new podcast coming out. So I've left all of my existing podcasts.
Yeah, quite rude on your wife.
Yeah, no, oh God. I mean, the narrative that the press found on that. I don't think I'm very popular with the British press, actually, because they were insisting that, you know, it was a quick decision and that, you know, we were having some huge Barney and that's why I've left the show and left her high and dry.
It's ridiculous, isn't it?
Which is fucking rubbish. I made this decision about 4 months ago when I was in Jordan.
Yeah.
I want to change the nature of the content that I put out to be a bit more in line with the things that I love.
Yeah,
like this.
Yeah, exactly, like this show.
You're not going to start a podcast like this, are you?
No. There's no danger of that.
Okay,
I've got a show that comes out on the. It's just come out actually on the 27th of January. So Monday, just gone, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And it's called Untapped, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts. And basically, it's chatting to incredible athletes, scientists, thinkers. In an aim to be thought provoking about how people can best untap their potential.
Yeah, and I think the episode, or is it a show?
It's actually not with Global
TV
it's,
show.
It's made by High Performance.
Okay, yeah. Jake Humphries.
Yeah,
is he in it as well?
He's not. Well, he will come on, I suppose, at some point. But no, he's not in it. Okay. It's a show that's made by High Performance team are producing it.
Okay,
and it's actually great and it's cool and I'm deeply into it and
so all pod platforms, YouTube,
all pod platforms, full YouTube episodes.
And
the episode
I'm on that comes out in April.
Yeah,
and we really get into it, like what it is to be a high performance businessman.
Right, okay,
now I haven't recorded it. But it will be blown.
That's actually a fine idea.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I've got
Who are a couple of names then for the first couple of eps?
We got Alex Honnold.
Yeah.
The guy from Free Solo. You remember Free Solo? That guy that climbs El Cap with
those incredible
ropes. He's amazing. Mm. And we talk with him all about fear. We chatted to Dave Asprey. He's quite up your street.
Spreezy.
Dave Asprey. He's a biohacker. Talks about semen retention.
Well,
and the importance of living longer. I think you'd have a great chat with him.
Yeah.
Actually,
that is. I don't want to go into that's a bit uncouth for this podcast. But that is one of the reasons I look so young is because obviously I've gone through 15 years of preseason rugby and the amount of semen I've retained.
Exactly.
Not
you
just
look
mine.
Good,
yeah.
You
mine.
Do look good.
Well, we'll put the link in the bio for the show, obviously.
Thanks so much.
Spencer, thank you so much for coming on. You've been absolutely brilliant. Sorry for bringing up some old demons, but I think that was quite therapeutic.
Thank you. Yeah,
it
was actually just like a therapy session.
Spencer, thank you so
much
for coming in, mate.
Much.
Good luck with the show. We'll put all the links in the bio and obviously, good luck with everything.
Thank you so much, the challenges, the Ironman.
It's been a pleasure to have you on after 5 years.
Thank you.
Thank you, Spencer.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, Clodis, he really enjoyed talking about Made in Chelsea. You could tell.
Yeah. I think he loved it.
He really does like that subject.
Yeah.
I think if we get him back on, you should ask him more questions.
Well,
about
I think
Chelsea.
if you listening and go like, I've got more questions to ask Spenny about Made in Chelsea, which these guys didn't cover.
Yeah.
DM him.
Oh yeah, do. He'd
love that.
I think he'd be really up for that.
Yeah.
I got the sense that the Made in Chelsea really got him going.
Not
you know, his amazing marathon efforts or his new podcast.
No.
He was purely there for the MIC chat.
Yeah. So watch, we got the Six Nations this weekend. Are we going to have one more instalment of Johnny Jono Predicts?
I don't see why not. It's for the last podcast. We're recording the live podcast, which will be the last podcast live. But yeah. Mate, your wish is my command.
Is she coming to the show? She must.
She doesn't know whether she's up for it. The problem is she's 2.
Yes.
And you can't drink at that age.
All right.
Literally can't drink a drop.
Okay.
And I'd be in trouble.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether there's just too much chat.
Yeah.
So I've said to her like you're more than welcome, but I was like,
yeah, make your own way there.
Yeah, you got to make your own way there. But she's got an Uber account, so
really?
She can do it. Yeah. Well, that's how she was born, wasn't
yeah,
she?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So
sure,
set
of course,
up straight
of
away.
Yeah.
But yeah, no. So I'll get that done, and looking forward to it. Should we get to the section?
Let's go for it.
Johnny Jono, can you help me win or lose? I need your brain, I need your views. Maybe we'll make the evening news. Cause you're like the octopus back in Germany, but you're Archie's kid and that's concerning me. Anyway, what are the results gonna be this weekend?
Johnny Jono, here we are. Last section, we're out and about. Our last section on the Rugby's podcast. Won't be our last section. We've got big plans, haven't we? Do a couple of podcasts. One that's coming out in March, Nursery Banter. That's where me and you interview some of your friends and their parents at nursery, which will be good fun. So anyway, let's get to it. There are three big games this weekend, Six Nations 2025. First game, Wales versus France. Do you think France will beat Wales? Do you think France will beat Wales?
Yeah.
Okay, and then obviously the big match on Saturday. Are you going to come to Daddy's show?
Yeah.
Okay, do you think England will beat Ireland?
Yeah.
Okay, and last one, do you think Scotland will beat Italy?
Yeah.
Okay, you are a very good girl. I love you.
Well, that was Johnny Jono, Arch. Are yours the same as hers? Any predictions?
Well, I'll give you what I think is going to happen in Six Nations. I think England are going to win the Six Nations. I don't think they'll win the Grand Slam, but no. I think they're going to win the Six Nations.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be a turning point for this England rugby team. And I know one guarantee. Bill Sweeney is going to get his L.T.I.P. LTIP. And that is the most important thing. What a guy. What a really good guy. Shame he didn't come on this podcast.
That's a very good prediction, Archie. I mean, let's see if that plays out. I think the French will win, but I think England have got a good chance.
Yeah.
We got a couple of friends in camp, Ollie Lawrence and, yes. and the like.
Yep.
Happy to see that Six Nations is going on TNT?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
just commercially makes sense.
Complete sense. Yeah. I think where rugby is right now, they've really got everything on point. I mean, they are grabbing new fans all the time.
Growing.
I mean, this podcast is it breaches rugby into other worlds, but unfortunately, no one would give us the backing. But they've got other podcasts with other middle-aged men talking about rugby, which I think will actually help grow the pod.
I can't wait.
Which will actually help grow the game.
Four middle-aged white men. It's just,
it's brilliant.
It's great.
It's great to see, and I love it. Yeah. I'm all for more podcasts.
Yeah,
I'd like to see more men in their like mid-40s, 50s talking about rugby.
Me too.
I like it.
Around a table.
It's
fucking good stuff.
Actually. Yeah.
Maybe
I love
we
it.
Should just become producers and commission other shows.
Well, I don't know. I think maybe we come back when I'm in my 40s.
Yeah. So we give it we give it 10 years.
10 years, yeah.
Okay. So, should we make that as a pledge?
Yeah, write that down. We'll come back.
Rugby's if rugby's
back.
Still alive.
That is it then. This is the last time. Just say, mate, well done. Well bowled.
Well, I'll see you on Saturday.
I'll see you on Saturday.
Come on, it's not all
this
over.
This is emotional.
Yet. This is emotional, actually.
Goodbye. Goodbye to the studio.
Well, we should say, if you don't want to say goodbye to us now, come to the show on Saturday at the Clapham Grand. Join 600 of the people. Buy your tickets. Link in the bio. Tickets from 12 quid. 12 quid is nothing. It's cheaper than 2 pints in Clapham.
If you think that's expensive, you're not our audience.
Yeah, you're not our audience.
You must
meet Anthony Watson. And actually, even more so than meet Anthony Watson, meet us. But even more so than us, meet a couple of surprises we have in store.
Yeah.
So I think that could leave
Mate,
you with a big
It is going to be loose. I think there's only one thing to say, isn't there?
What?
It's
get the fuck
to Clapham. That song is so jokes. Honestly, mate, I've been listening to that song all the time. I'm going to put it on all my reels.
Okay.
Mate, it's so good. You should see me. And my hand is going like that.
Yeah.
Up and down.
Yeah,
and like, I have my glasses on.
Is this the folly?
I'm just standing there.
Yeah.
Like, You think you look like an absolute bellend, but I didn't.
You looked
really
awesome.
Cool. Just my finger pointing up and down. Like this.
Yeah.
I was on a table and I was just drinking from a bottle. And you know that.
Champagne.
That would say, no, rosé. That would suggest that I might look like a complete and utter bellend.
No.
But no, I didn't. I looked really cool. And my hand up there drinking that. Yeah. And I was on the table and I just like, I had my chassis out. And that again would suggest that I was an absolute weapon.
Yeah.
But no, not at all. No, everyone really seemed to respond well to it. So I had a brilliant time.
Well, mate, you have a good one. I'll see you on Saturday.
Right,
rest
love
up well,
champagne,
okay?
Mate. See you there. See you there.
Yeah.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at freestylelibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit myfreestyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, or prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.